is a Tuesday edition of the Green Zone. I'm Jamie Nye. He's Locker. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us, an hour away from puck drop of the National Hockey League. Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, Marty Walsh met with the media today. It was Gary's day.
He's retired!
No, he's not.
Yeah.
There's rumors. Elliot Friedman was saying, oh, there's a succession plan being put in place. And Gary said, yeah. There's a succession plan, but nothing is imminent.
Did he go, wah, wah, wah?
And then he started to count how many years
he's going
to
be left.
One, two. And he said rumors of his demise are greatly exaggerated for Gary Bettman. But they did announce a new all-star format for next season.
What do you think of this?
Well, let me dig into the details first.
All right.
So in 2027, you know you've had international hockey. They did the Four Nations face-off. Then they had the Olympics. 2028 is going to be a World Cup of hockey.
Yeah.
So they have this break, 2027. What are they going to do? Well, remember, New York got theirs kind of taken away
yeah.
a while ago. So they didn't get an all-star game.
Oh, so they're going back to the island?
They are going to Long Island.
Okay.
UBS, not USB Arena, is the place.
They got they wanted to highlight the new...
The new rink.
The new
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The all-star game is going to be a 3-on-3 format, but it's going to be international teams. So there will be a Team Canada. There will be a United States. There will be Sweden. There will be Finland. And to make sure Leon Draisaitl, Nikita Kucherov, and everybody else can play, a rest of the world.
Team squad, world.
An international team. Draisaitl and Kucherov. And oh, my goodness.
That team could be very interesting.
Vasilevsky and Net.
Yeah, that could be a scary team.
they might roll. But
who do you get to coach that team?
Who was out there? But they're probably going to have like
honorary coaches.
Honorary coaches.
From the league.
Like who knows.
You don't want to.
If Ovi retires, maybe Ovechkin will. So, yes, you're hearing that right.
Do you want passport coaches, though? Like, I think they're going to want somebody tied to that country, no?
Well, no, there's no... I don't think there's a coach you could bring in for that team.
That's
not
why
one
I'm,
that pops out of my head right
that's
away.
That's why I'm asking.
There's a lot of the coaches are Canadian or American right now across the National Hockey League. So, you have international, you have those other four countries. So, yes, Russian players in this international tournament. And that's why I predicted last week when they made that Russian announcement from the IIHF that they'll go on a case-by-case basis to allow Russian participation internationally. 2028 World Cup of Hockey is going to have a team Russia. Like that. Let's be real. It's going to be those four teams, Russia.
Maybe a while before we see Russian weightlifters, though.
No. I doubt it. So there's that. And then they added to it that the skills format will be a under 25 group.
This is cool.
So instead of asking Connor McDavid and all those guys to do the same, like all over and over, it's the same guys. It's going to be more of a highlight on the younger players in the NHL. So
it's a really good idea.
Like Connor Bedard, Macklin Celebrini. Porter Martone, those types of players
yeah.
will be brought in All-Star Weekend to do a Young Stars skills competition.
Based on where the game's going to, it kind of makes sense, right? Because a lot of times these skilled players, the younger guys come in, and it has been more about the skills of the game, right?
Yeah.
Than the older players. I don't want to take anything away from, you know, your 30-year-old, I think he's 29 right now, Connor McDavid, because he's very skilled, but at the end of the day, there are kids that are coming in now that are like, mm-hmm. yeah.
So there's a new all-star format. And they're clearly leaning into the international stuff. Rather than East Division versus West Division, let's go international. Let's put, you know, McKinnon and McDavid and those guys.
This is way better than the old format.
Celebrini on a team. I think so.
Yeah. Way better. The 3-on-3, it's a bit kitschy, but
when
I still
you talk about a global audience for the National Hockey League, having a Team Sweden and a Team Finland to have people watch overseas and the international team is a lot more intriguing for your All-Star weekend than having West versus East.
I agree. Right? Because it just it gives it more, I don't know, pop, right? Because now you have somebody you can get behind based on a passport. But I don't think, I think the team world is smart because I don't know if Germany would have been able to carry a fifth team, right?
Like no.
Or a Norway or a Switzerland.
Switzerland has some good players.
Yes. Yes.
I think they,
but I mean a whole team.
But I think they have 15 or 16 NHLers. It's not enough for a whole five-on-five team, but it is for a three-on-three team. But that's going to be it's going to be interesting. Next year, next February, is going to be this all-star format. Very I like smart. New things. I like them trying new things. I don't mind it. It is what it is. It is a showcase in the middle of the season to bring in your sponsors and have the kids watch and sell your game to a broader audience. Try something different. Keep the international flavor for the National Hockey League. But Gary Bettman did say he's not going anywhere. They are putting a succession plan together, but nothing is imminent for Gary Bettman. So, as Locker believes, he has cursed Canadian franchises from ever winning the Stanley Cup.
Until he goes. Until he exits the NHL.
If that happens, I will howl. If the first year... Gary's not the guy to hand the trophy and a Canadian team wins.
I'm calling it. You've heard it here.
Will be
write it down.
Wild. But they won't win. You're saying they won't win before that. Like Gary Bettman will never hand a trophy back to a Canadian team.
No.
He only did it once, 93 with the Canadians.
He's got to go away.
It's never happened again. So he's never, but the first year he's gone and they have somebody else to hand over that trophy, your prediction is a Canadian team wins.
He has to like release the tourniquet that he has on this league.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs goes tonight. Who will win the series? 1-877-332-8255. Vaughn texted in, Golden Knights in seven. If Vegas plays the same or better than they played the Avs, this could be done in five, says Vaughn when it says prediction time. 1-877-332-8255. Corey, thanks from PA. Marco Sturm could coach Team International.
There we go.
There, we found our coach. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday. It is CFL preview night tonight on the Canadian or on TSN for the Canadian Football League. Unfortunately, it's going up against
hockey. What time does that start?
The
CFL,
game.
The top 50.
It is their preview shows. They're starting at 6 o'clock, I do believe.
Okay,
tonight. But right now it's all about the soccer. Of course, World Cup next week, and they have the FIFA kickoff show.
Can we score a goal?
And then the CFL. Oh, sorry, it starts at 6:30, and then the preview show starts at 7 o'clock. So that's tonight, but the top 50 comes up within this, the CFL top 50 list. Nathan Rourke's going to be number one. If he's not number one, I will be shocked. So who should be number two? Who is the second best player in the Canadian Football League? A couple of texts are saying it should be Trevor Harris.
I don't disagree. I mean, how do you knock him? How do you keep him out of the top? Listen, maybe there's a case to be made that he's not number two. Like, I can wrap my head around that because I had Davis Alexander ahead and Trevor beat Davis. But I saw him last year and I saw what he did for that team. And I was like, I think he's a strong candidate for the number two spot. Right. And I'm not discrediting Kenny Law, but I think Kenny and Bo combined did a lot. And and I'm not saying Kenny wouldn't be good with another quarterback or that Bo wouldn't be good with another receiver, but those two definitely have some chemistry that a lot of players don't have. So I didn't know where to put them based on that, right? That I think the two of them were great, right? But Trevor,
he broke a record in the Grey Cup game. He is the Grey Cup champion after all.
Yes.
I'll be interested to see where he falls.
If he falls out of the top 10.
I think he might.
Really? Like, that's well, kind of disrespectful.
When I look at what I'm hearing from other people who are talking about this, I'm hearing more people have him behind Davis Alexander and behind Bo Levi Mitchell. So it sounds like he's like the fourth quarterback. Some people might have Trevor Harris below Vernon Adams Jr. for some reason.
Really?
I think that goes with the rushing and the flair and the
Here's how you need to watch
a player. You see him be athletic and running around. That's way more exciting than what Trevor Harris does, which is sit back, take a three-stop, and spin that ball quicker than anybody else in his release. And it's nothing sexy, but it's efficient as all get out, as we saw last year in the Grey Cup game.
Yeah.
Well, so when you throw those guys in, and then you have to throw Justin Rankin and Brady Oliveira and Matthew Betts and maybe Roland Milligan, you start to see where it starts to shuffle down.
Okay, but here's why you got to be careful. Last year, Trey Ford made the top 50.
Here's a question. Should Chad Kelly be on the top 50?
Oh, will he? What do you think?
I am intrigued.
He's not
by
on your,
Chad Kelly.
He's not on your list.
Because here's where Chad Kelly was. Remember, he missed all of last season because of an injury. Before that, he was the MOP in 2023, came in midway through 2024, and played extremely well again. And then an unfortunate injury dropped him off of the season last year.
He's this year's Nathan Rourke.
But here's the thing. He was better than Nathan Rourke in 2024 than Nathan Rourke was in 2024. He was a better quarterback than Nathan Rourke. Yeah. And then in 2023, he was an MOP, something Nathan Rourke wasn't even in the conversation of. So if those people were putting Nathan Rourke, and what was Nathan Rourke last year? Was he seventh last year on that list? Yeah, he was seventh. And I was shocked by that. Chad Kelly was 11th. So I believe when you talk about players this season, who are the best players in the Canadian Football League top 50? Chad Kelly is a yes from me. Before his injury, he was, if not the best, in the top three quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League. He just was. Based on his talent, he was that. MOP 2023, and then came back in 9 games and was pretty darn good. Led the Toronto Argonauts to the Grey Cup, broke his leg at the end of that game, and Nick Arbuckle
Is he the biggest question mark this year?
Probably, on where Chad Kelly will go. Will he be on the list? I think I had him 39th on my list. So I had the kicker 40th because you have to pick a kicker, which I think is ridiculous.
Your distaste for kickers.
But come on. Unless a kicker goes 100% in a season, what are we doing?
You're not picking them? Okay.
Well, I have to. You have to have a kicker. So sorry to all kickers out there. Whoever I pick, you go 40th. That's where I start. That's the first person I put on my ballot is the kicker at 40. Because you submit a ballot of 40. And that was Sergio Castillo this year. 40, and I think I put Chad Kelly 39. He was in 37, 38, 39. We'll see if he's on the top 50 list. Or maybe he'll be like 7th, like Nathan Rourke was last year.
That's funny.
I'd do anything.
Jamie Locker with you here on this Tuesday, half an hour away from the Stanley Cup Final. It is the Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights. ESPN, they have 24 people on staff who made predictions at ESPN.com. What do you think the split was, Locker, on their predictions on who wins the Stanley Cup?
Oh, so just between Carolina and Vegas?
Carolina, Vegas.
24?
24 people.
12 on one side, 12 on the other.
It was bang on, exactly dead middle. 12 people picked Vegas.
That doesn't surprise me.
12 people picked Carolina.
As much as I don't think this is a great matchup for hockey, and we'll get into that with John here, for hockey as well. I still think this is going to be a good series. Does that make sense? Can you reconcile that?
I think this is going to be a thoroughly enjoyable series.
I think
you might be right. Like you're thinking like 2-1 games, that type of thing, rather than high flying.
Yeah.
5 goals. I'll be interested to see how it plays out. I think Locker and I are in agreement. We are going with the Hurricanes. I don't know if that's head and heart or not. Rod the Pod. Hey, if you want a Saskatchewan connection with Rod Brind'Amour, where'd he go? He went to Notre Dame. He was a Notre Dame hound before going upwards and onwards to the National Hockey League. So he spent some time in Saskatchewan out of that Wilcox facility at Notre Dame, did Roddy Brind'Amour. Way back in the day. But John Shannon is the host of 100% Hockey podcast with Gary Bettman's news conference. There's talk earlier today before the news conference. There might be a succession plan going on in place. Ask John if he thinks this could be the last Stanley Cup presentation for Gary Bettman.
I don't believe it.
No?
No.
Really?
No, no. Now, he's having his press conference as we speak. In Raleigh, I think that he has two more important issues to fix in his mind, and that is the next TV deal in the United States, and then find a way to finish the collective bargaining agreement in 2030, and then he will be done.
Okay.
So Canada's going to have to wait a little bit longer for a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup then.
That's my prediction. By the way.
So we're just blaming Gary for all that.
Yep, I do.
I don't. He's
cursed the Canadian franchises.
No.
My prediction is the day he walks away, we'll have a winner in Canada.
I was in the building. I was there in, was it the Stanley Cup final? When Gary Bettman was in Edmonton, and Edmonton, Alberta cheered Gary Bettman. I'll never forget it because it was after the lockout. He brought in the salary cap and Canadian teams were, wow, we get to compete again. Like that was the overall sense, right, John?
Yes, but even before that, in the late 90s, he invented a thing called the Canadian Equalization Program, which basically was revenue sharing between the American-based teams and the Canadian-based teams because our dollar was at 62 cents. And so even if you were losing money in the United States with your team, say the St. Louis Blues, you were having to pony up $3 to $4 million to distribute it to Winnipeg, to Calgary, to Edmonton, and to Ottawa, the four basic Canadian teams that were basically being submerged with debt when the Canadian dollar was so bad. Mm-hmm. That was really, in many ways, one of the greatest things Gary ever did was to allow those Canadian teams to survive because we were within days, quite frankly, of losing the Edmonton Oilers to Houston at one point. And obviously they lost Winnipeg and lost Quebec City.
John, is this Stanley Cup final matchup bad for hockey?
Oh, no. This is a fantastic matchup. This is going to be as close to rock'em sock'em hockey as you're going to have. These are two teams that play with intensity. There's going to be a ton of physical play. I think once we get past the heat belt, I mean, it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Raleigh today. It's going to be 105 in Vegas for every game, Fahrenheit. But once we get past that, I think we're going to enjoy two teams that play on the edge, have a great deal of character, have a lot of depth, and a lot of speed. This might be one of the most fun series from the opening faceoff of Game 1 that we've seen in a long period of time.
John, I'm interested on, of course, you have an extensive background, one of the top, sports broadcasting executives. What do you think this series is going to do in Canada? Like, for hockey fans, as you say, great matchup, great hockey is going to be played, but will Vegas and Carolina bring people to their couches?
Perhaps not. It's funny. You know, the ratings in the United States are probably at 10-year highs right now. When you consider both TNT and ESPN have recorded great numbers in the playoffs, I think a lot of that has to do with hockey fans that jumped on board during the Olympics and watched the Americans win and have stuck with it and have enjoyed it. We have not heard one word from Sportsnet, from Rogers, about TV ratings in these playoffs. Not one word, which usually indicates that the numbers aren't worth bragging about. So, and we've all been through it. I mean, we've been through years where the ratings dipped. I mean, in one of my years as the executive producer of Hockey Night in 1998, you know, I don't think we reached a million people watching the last four games of the Stanley Cup Final, which was heartbreaking for all of us and the advertisers and the revenue from sponsorship. But that's the ebbs and flows of what you have when you have two non-Canadian teams playing in the Stanley Cup Final. That year was Detroit-Washington.
Should this matchup, and I agree with you, I just want to make sure that I highlight this, John, because we had such a great week. The last conversation we had was such a good conversation for you and I and the relationship that we are building here. But
although John doubted everything about his takes.
By the way, I lost sleep over that.
I figured you would.
I lost sleep over that. It was a little concerning. I went back and found it on the podcast and tried to listen to it again, saying, I can't believe I'm doing that, but I did.
Okay, so, but should this matchup, the hockey's going to be fantastic, and I am going to be watching. Should this matchup, though, reignite the playoff format conversation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, this is, again, where the commissioner has been adamant that, you know, 16 teams make the playoffs. We don't have a play-in tournament like the NBA does because our March and April are just a fantastic 45-day window of teams vying for those playoff spots, and it usually takes to the last two or three days to get everybody in the right spot and jockeying for position. And in fact, I have not heard one word during these playoffs that says we've got to rethink the playoff format. I mean, when you look at what happened to the Colorado Avalanche, who were, you know, the best team in hockey for 82 games. Remember the start? They had a great start. They won the President's Trophy, and they get eliminated in four games. So being at the top of the heap didn't mean a hill of beans.
Or just mean that they got beat up on the front end of the playoffs.
Well, listen, Utah and Minnesota both probably took a pound of flesh out of them. There's no question about that. I mean, when Cale Makar is as hurt as he was, and Nathan MacKinnon blocks a shot, and he's limping around. But, you know, the one thing that I think, if you look at Colorado, is they showed that they didn't have near the depth that we thought they were supposed to have after such a great season. And that's one of the reasons why I think these two teams are the two best teams in hockey, because they have a ton of depth. You know, when the Vegas Golden Knights lose Braden McNabb to suspension, or lose another defenseman to injury, and Dylan Coghlan comes in and scores the first goal of a game, that shows a great sign of depth. And I think both these two teams, could probably have three or four guys that are going to sit in the press box tonight that could play and contribute to the success of either of the teams winning the cup.
John Shannon is joining us, host of 100% Hockey, the podcast. He'll have you covered for the Stanley Cup Final, of course, and what could be a busy offseason once it all ends. It's already starting with all the hirings and everything else going on. But, John, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? What do you think?
Well, I think Vegas is going to win. I really do. And I don't know whether Locker agrees with me. If he does, I might change my mind.
I don't. You're good. You're safe. You can sit on that one.
I think Vegas wins in six. And to me the difference, the unsung superstar of these playoffs has been Jack Eichel. You know, Marner's got all the press because of who he was and where he came from. Mark Stone came back into the lineup and contributed right away. Carter Hart has been good, but Jack Eichel has been so steady and so strong through these playoffs. I think that in so many ways, that Jordan Staal-Jack Eichel matchup we're going to see, for at least for these next two games, is going to be fantastic. And that's why I give Eichel's stardom the edge for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup.
There's John Shannon's prediction. Vegas in six games. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255 as we get to Champs and Chumps next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
You two are winners. Big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, Champs and Chumps on the Green Zone Locker. You were chumping the Vegas Golden Knights again?
I can do that.
Quite consistent
with
the Vegas Golden Knights. They apparently, some of their major companies purchased large quantities of tickets.
You took them back from them.
And sometimes they resell them on StubHub, whatever, and not the Access website that the Vegas Golden Knights use. So they're not offering them Stanley Cup final tickets.
So just to clarify, because obviously Vegas, we don't need to make it any worse than it already is. People already despise that organization, and they just don't care. But they did go to the bigger brands, not like the like the small guys, the guy that has a couple of seats, but the guy like the big business, like TikTok has 50 pairs of tickets. They said to TikTok, you can have them, but you have to pay a premium for them.
Which are, there's some people who are rankled by it. If they have their tickets and everybody else is getting, why are they getting the same deal?
Yeah.
Vegas, meanwhile, is going to take those tickets and put them on their website. And put them on the market. But there is a champ.
Add that to the list of deplorable things that the Vegas Golden Knights do.
Merriman Danny. There's a lot of people said he should be our champ today. I disagree. Today he signed an executive order temporarily repealing bedtimes in the city of New York so kids of all ages can watch the New York Knickerbockers in the NBA Finals.
This triggered Pop and I. Because he was like, man, I struggle with the bedtime thing. The last thing I need is a politician.
So 8:30 is the start time in New York City for all the games. So tomorrow, then next Monday, Wednesday, and then a Tuesday. I'm not worried about the Fridays, okay?
Fridays or the
Saturday, that's fine. But the Monday, the Wednesday, tomorrow, 8:30. Those games won't end until 11:30. Has the mayor ever dealt with a temper tantrum of a kid who missed his bedtime on a school night?
What's going on here? Come on.
This isn't champ work.
You're making parenthood more difficult than it already is.
Here's the deal. I'll record the game. We can watch it tomorrow at a reasonable hour. Seriously, Ma'am Danny. You want a bunch of 8-year-old temper tantrums.
Yep.
At 11:30 at night when the Knicks lose.
That's exactly
to the Spurs.
What he did.
Like when the Knicks are going to lose to the Spurs, and then you're going to have a bunch of upset 8-year-olds, but the mayor told us we could stay up late. Okay, I'm chumping the mayor there. Some people want to chump the mayor of New York.
That turned quickly.